This time in the Magic Kitchen, we're talking about personal gnosis.
I'm Leander Witchwood.
And I'm Elise Wells.
And welcome to the Magic Kitchen podcast, where we talk about magic, kitchen witchcraft, herbs,
and everything in between. So I've got some big news. Last month, I was able to read tarot in Greece live for the first time at the Athens Irish Festival. And it was incredible. I hadn't read tarot for anyone except for myself and close friends for 3 years since before COVID. And I don't know, it just, I was so nervous because in Greece, fortune telling is like mildly illegal still. And divination is looped in with that, even though, of course, I'm not like predicting anyone's futures. Nobody can do that. And so I wasn't sure how it would be received. And I did have a lot of skeptics, but it went really well. I actually ended up like our festival ended at 11 and I was there until 1:30 the second two nights of the festival.
Oh my gosh.
Because it was so successful. I had a line. And when I had to leave to go attend to other matters, I also helped plan the festival. So I had a lot to do. People would wait. They would stay waiting at my booth to get their tarot read. So
that's awesome.
It really was a wake up call to get back to my gifts. So I am officially offering tarot readings and you can book them on seekingnumina.com. The link is also in the show notes. And it's been incredible. Since I posted it live on my site, I've gotten to do a couple of distance readings on Zoom, and it's gone just as well as it does in person. And it's incredible because I read intuitively. So I don't ask a single question when I read tarot. I just give feedback based on the energy I'm getting when I shuffle the cards. And I use rose quartz as the conduit to do that, focusing on the love, the emotions, the positive emotions that come through. And if they're not positive, you know, gotcha. Redirecting those with advice. So it's always amazing to me how pointed that advice can be. Even when I'm not sure why I'm saying what I'm saying, it's so nice to see that come through. And it's nourishing. It's really, really nourishing to be able to do it again. So I hope y'all out there listening will consider me for a reading if you're looking for a diviner.
Heck yeah. That's exciting. I'm glad. I'm glad it went really well for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And there's also been some updates on Patreon. I've got my community on there. So I'm posting 10 posts every month, exclusive articles, journal prompts, and rituals for my community. But now you can support me and the Magic Kitchen podcast and my future book tour for my novel anywhere, anytime, yes. With the Patreon shop. So a big issue for a lot of folks is with these communities is the commitment. And I totally get that. You know, it's a monthly subscription. That's, you got to find the time to engage with that. But now there is a shop option where you don't have to join anything. You just purchase what you're looking for. So you can purchase tarot readings through there. You can purchase all my past workshops. They're all on there as courses with all the same resources and full recordings. And you can also donate to support my book tour through the shop. So if you just simply want to support one time, you will get an excerpt of my novel right there. And I recently, with my publisher, yes, confirmed the new title for my novel. So I'm really excited to share that with everybody.
Good.
But I'm not sharing it yet. It's on. Nah, I'm sharing
you can't
it.
Yet.
No, I got to build up to this because this was such a difficult decision. In a way, it was harder than writing the book because it's so important.
Whoa.
Like those words are what's going to determine, are you going to pick that up? Are you going to pre-order that? Are you going to read it?
Yep.
And
the book is judged by its cover.
It is. I know. And that's not even on the, I don't even, It's in production, so someone else is going to come up with the cover. Thank gods, because I really did not even. I have this kind of vague idea. Like, if I really meditate on it, I kind of see what it might be. So I'm curious what they'll come up with. But if you sign up for my newsletter, I'm releasing the title on Tuesday. And if you sign up after Tuesday, you'll find out, because I'll put it in all my newsletters. Yeah, I'll update my website and stuff. But I would really appreciate it if you sign up for my newsletter to keep up to date on.
Yeah, be the first to know.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great.
What you been up to?
I can't wait to hear the title.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know the title, so I'm excited to hear it.
I know. Oh, I'll tell you.
Oh. No. No, I want to find out when everybody else finds out.
Okay.
I don't want to be special.
You are special. Too late.
Aw, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Oh, so what have I been up to? I've been up to a bunch of things, mainly in the community. We have, we just had our monthly mentoring session where I sit down with the community. We take a subject and we kind of dissect it a little further, and I give some ideas and options and examples of it and how to use it in your daily practice. And that always leads up to our monthly ritual, which is next week. And this month we're focusing on magical crafting. So we're going to do oils and crafting our own magical oils. And I mean, this is a monthly subscription where I come in and we do things every month, but attached to that is also my library of courses. So at your own pace, you can do the Divine Feminine series. You can do the shadow work. You can do all that. And, so every month I come up with different topics that we dig into. August, we're going to talk about crystals and crystal grids, which is kind of fun. I love doing these ones because you can do so many different combinations for your manifesting, protection, energy building, whatever. So that's part of what's happening in the Rebel Mystic community. And attached to that, so one of the things I've gotten a lot of requests for is one-on-one work, specifically shadow work. And I do offer dark mirror coaching, which is a shadow work based coaching process. It's more of, you know, one-on-one with me sitting down and working through those shadows that are kind of tough to get through. Sometimes you need support. You should have support during your shadow work. Currently there's a wait list for that. So if you want to get in on that and get on that wait list, go ahead and you can go to my website, or we'll drop the link in the show notes. But this one is typically 6 weeks, and we sit down together. And if you continue after that 6 weeks, that is kind of bonus, because then we go deeper. And with this program, what I incorporate is Celtic Reiki, and of course my Utsui Reiki background. So my mastery in both. And of course, my shadow work background, along with the techniques that I have honed in on and developed through, you know, just being a witch and living the experience and living the energy. And Lisa and I were just talking about like going deeper in your path. Like, this definitely takes you on that path to go deeper. If you're tired of the mundane, kitschy, flashy witchcraft that you find everywhere, like, this is definitely where you go and you dig deep.
Yeah.
In the community and in the dark mirror coaching. So if you're interested in that, check out the links. That's what I'm up to.
Nice.
The Magic Kitchen Podcast is funded and supported by thewitchwoodteahouse.com, offering a variety of hand-blended loose leaf teas, as well as loose herbs for all of your ritual, spell work, wellness, and everyday enjoyment needs. If you would like to support this podcast while sipping a great cup of tea, head over to thewitchwoodteahouse.com and find the magic that's in store for you.
So you may have seen the term UPG, or unverified personal gnosis, on social media. It's a big hashtag on the interwebs these days. And we want to talk about that, what it means, why you should know if something you read is personal gnosis or not, and what to do with it, how it can be helpful or hurtful. So personal gnosis refers simply to a personal experience. Gnosis comes from the Greek word gnosos, which means to know. So a personal gnosis is a personal experience. So by nature, they are unverified. Like, we were talking about this before we started. Like, is there a verified personal gnosis? Like, no, because you can't cite it, you know? You can't say this is, in fact, the real experience that a person can have with the deity. So it's always personal, which means it's always subjective. Mm-hmm. And but it's common. I mean, we see it, and it's changing. The way it's used is changing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I think, especially when we're talking about spiritual encounters, encounters with deity, going back to the idea, you know, verified versus unverified. I mean, you can't cite it. You can't say, oh, here's the evidence, because it's not going to work out that way. And your experience with a deity may be similar to mine, but it's still personal. And that's the point. Like, it is personal. We're meant to have these personal relationships with our experiences and our spiritual path. So not everyone will relate to the personal belief or the personal experience. And that's rightly so. So don't feel like you have to be validated by an external source. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of hit a roadblock with their spiritual path or with their understanding or their validation in it, is they're trying to get validation from an outside source.
Yeah.
And unverified personal gnosis is just that. It's never going to be verified or validated by someone else. It can be, you can have a similar experience. Yes. Maybe that gives you enough validation, and that's fine. But it's an expression that's meant for you and you alone.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, witchcraft is a personal path.
Yes.
Your spiritual path is yours alone. Even if you share beliefs, you know, Leandra and I share beliefs. We definitely share.
Yes.
I would say our core tenets are the same. Like, we love nature. Yeah. We put nature first. We commune with spirits. We have deities that we are patrons of. But we don't do everything the same. We don't necessarily have the same experiences, even with the same deities. We both have experiences with Apollo, but totally different aspects of him. But neither of us would question each other's experiences with that, because that's just how deities work. It's even like friends. Like, we all have this experience where, like, we're friends with somebody, or maybe we're not friends with them. Maybe we know them. And we're like, that is not my experience with that person. When somebody else is like, oh, they got me this great birthday gift, and you're like, really? They don't seem like the type. You know, like, that's just reality. You know, reality is so subjective. We don't really see even the same things as each other. Like, you can go to a concert with a friend and you'll both have different songs that you thought were the best performed ones.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Or look at the idea of eyewitness accounts in car accidents. That's a very good one. So you can have 10 people witness the same event, and each one of them will have a different perspective or recall of the events that happened. Now, some of them will be similar. That's how we get, you know, put the puzzle pieces together of what happened. But your personal experiences, your personal traumas, your shadow, your programming, it'll all influence how you relate to and retrieve and associate with information given to you and experienced by you.
Yeah, that is so, so true. And they even do recall therapy. I don't know that that's necessarily what it's called, but that's, for some reason, that's the term that came to me. Like, when they are interviewing witnesses, where they will try to, like, put them in a sensory way back at the scene of the crime or the happening that they witnessed. And they'll get them to notice the smells and the sights and the sounds. And then they can sometimes get more accurate memories, but they also notice a pattern of, like, who remembers what. Like, some people will remember the smell of what they were doing or the food they were eating. You know, whereas other people might have been like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. I was there for lunch. I forgot that. So I heard this quote about poetry recently, but I think it's the same for any spiritual practice, because poetry is so spiritual. Anytime we use our creativity, we're being spiritual. But I digress.
Yeah.
When we do a creative work or we experience something spiritual. We bring the sum of ourselves to that experience. Everything, our most embarrassing childhood moments, everything. Our most beautiful first dances, our first jobs and all their ups and downs, you know, anything that has contributed to your life thus far is going to be in that experience with a God or a spirit with you. And that's going to culminate your personal gnosis. It's not going to be something that you can like textbook verify. Oh yeah, no, that must have been Hecate because this.
Right. Yeah. And think about it. What do we remember most or best? We remember and associate with things that bring up an emotional connection. And this is a lot of how we manifest the things we want and need in our lives through magic, is through that emotional connection. It is that emotional substance that helps things stick and helps things become more true to our reality. Yeah. And if we're, you know, associating with something that brings up an emotional experience for us, it's going to have more validity to us personally. And that's all that matters. That's why we're so adamant about saying, like, don't look for outside validation constantly, because it's not going to be there. It's not going to validate you in the way it needs to be validated. Now, this doesn't mean we give ourselves delusions. It just means that, like, hey, you know what? I had this experience with Hecate, and you've had experiences with Hecate. Let's talk about our similar experiences and see what matches up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you may have an aspect of her that really speaks to you, but doesn't speak so much to the other person that you're speaking with about her.
And that's important to think about too. Any deity is going to have dozens of aspects or epithets. Epithets is another word for title. So you might be working with an aspect of Hecate that is, you know, maybe you're working with Kleitos, which is like her key bearing role, and she's helping you unlock your inner potential. But somebody else you're working with is pregnant and they're going through childbirth, and Hecate is guiding them through the shadow of learning to mother themselves before they mother this child. That doesn't mean neither of you are working with Hecate. It means she's like anybody, right? But times a million, she's multifaceted. And that's why so many of us can work with these goddesses and gods. It's that's their power.
Yes. And I think this is an important point to make, is that the deities that we follow, that we worship, are not these dichotomous beings of, you know, Aphrodite is only love and romance and sexuality, you know. It doesn't work like that. You know, Zeus is only hell and brimstone, lightning, and, you know, raping everybody. It doesn't work like that. They're not all one. So it's important to remember that we're multifaceted, and therefore the energies that we invite into our world, into our existence, into our practice are also multifaceted.
Yeah. Are you ready to start living a magical life? Join me in my Patreon community, where I'm sharing rituals for every Sabbat and full moon, weekly journal prompts, and new on the new moon articles highlighting new practices from around the world. Joining a community can be the thing you need to keep your practice active and engaging. For more information, visit patreon.com/Elise Wells or follow the community link on seekingnumina.com. So personal gnosis is useful. There's a lot of good things about it. It's a great tool for conversation, for growing your path. It can provide validation. Now, it shouldn't be your sole source of it, like your relationship with your deity.
Right.
Actually, maybe you don't share the main crux of what you go through, but you maybe say like, hey, I feel like I'm working with Hephaestus. But I don't know for sure. This is kind of what I went through. Does this resonate with you as a devotee of Hephaestus? He's my patron god. That's why I used him as an example. But, you know, that's useful. That can be really helpful. And it can also encourage you to actually reach out to these deities. Like, it's definitely not a bad idea if you're really nervous about deity work to you know, email us, message us on Instagram, message your friends, go in. Facebook groups are dangerous sometimes, but you know, like Hellenic Pagans on Facebook, they're a pretty good group. Like you can comment in there and say like, hey, I want to reach out to Dionysius. How do I do that? Like, what was your experience? Like, you're going to get a multitude of responses. Some are not going to line up with each other, but that's actually why it's worth asking, because it gives you an array of what to experience. I wouldn't do that personally, because I think it's better to go in personally, like going cold, see what you experience, because then you're not looking for what to expect. But if you're, I mean, if that is, everyone's different, maybe that is better for you to have some expectation. That's fine. It can be very useful that way.
Mm. And I think it's important to give each other room to experience. Like you said, don't go into the Facebook groups, because it seems like when we share outwardly our experiences, we get backlash. Oh, that's not how it is. That's not how it is. And that's a dangerous road to take. Like, we should not be absolute in anything when it comes to a spiritual path. Like, there's no true absolutes.
Yeah.
I think that's so dangerous for us to say, well, because that's not my experience, that's not how it is. That's not true. And that's the point of this personal gnosis, is that your experience is valid, but it doesn't have to be everybody else's experience either.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's good. Like, get comfortable with that, because it just won't be. It won't be the same experience.
Yeah.
It won't be, you know, like if you have siblings, your experience with one or more of your parents is completely different, especially if you're different genders. As the oldest girl, trust me.
Well, okay, so like my sister and I were 12 years apart. Her experience growing up in our house is very different than my experience. So, I mean, just even time will give you a different,
Yeah, so keep that in mind. It's useful. It shouldn't be discounted fully, but it also isn't the end all be all. That's why I think there's that label. UPG is just something people tack onto the end of something that they say so that you don't say, oh, yeah, that's the facts. That's, you know, that's
right. Because it's not
that's written
facts.
In stone.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, like a good example of that is one of my patrons is Namu or Tiamat. And she has so many stories that go along with her. And most of them come from the chaos. Now, think of it this way. Okay. So when we're telling stories, we're telling them from our perspective now, but they were different when they were told hundreds and thousands of years or thousands of years ago. Right. So that's a great example of how things change and how perceptions change.
So personal gnosis can be used for ill if you see somebody saying that it is the facts. That's where it can get dangerous. So it's less common now. I think people are getting more open-minded, but pre-Percy Jackson books, to be honest, I think that's literally the line here. People used to be very like, why would you work with the Greek gods? Why would you work with Zeus? Right. Zeus is disgusting. Zeus. And okay, fair enough. Yeah, these stories are nightmarish. Like if that was a real legitimate, this was what a man did, that would not be a person worth working with. 100%. But now, today, because more people have been working with him and more people are open with their experiences, people are admitting like, that's not the Zeus I know. He's not like these myths.
Right.
And it's important to know that myths were written down thousands of years after they were relevant. And this is true in every single culture that I can think of off the top of my head. The Welsh culture has the Mabinogion. That was written down by Christians about 1,000 years after paganism reigned. Druid history, also written by Christians. And even the Greek magical papyri, that was written around 600 to 1200 AD by Christians. All of the myths we know about Norse mythology, 100% written by Christians. Mm-hmm. The Poetic Edda was written by monks. So any of these stories we know are coming from such a biased lens, not to mention even at the time, there would have been regional differences to all of these stories. So it's really important to expect that your experience with a deity is going to be unique. And it's not going to be what you read in these very, very old texts. There's also political reasons for the way certain things were written. Like Hesiod, who wrote the Greek, a lot of Greek history, he wrote the Theogony. So he wrote like the origin story of the gods. And this text is like pretty much the only one that tells us anything. And he's one guy in one time period. So that's, you know,
with one perspective.
Yeah. Like we would never take that today. Like if somebody was like, I want to go visit Greece. And they were like, I'm only going to look at one Instagram page from one Greek person. And that's it. And that's how I'm going to decide what Greece is like. It wouldn't be an accurate depiction at all. So do we think Hesiod lied 110%? Like definitely not. But we can't take every single thing he said as a fact. And there was so much metaphor in these stories. Like that's a whole other conversation. It's like, and we're actually planning an episode to talk about archetypes in myth. And But yeah, these perspectives of ancient deity are very skewed.
Very, definitely.
Are you enjoying the show? If you are, we'd really appreciate a 5-star review. It helps us to reach more listeners like you and to keep doing the Magic Kitchen podcast. Thank you. So academically, personal gnosis has not always been included in the conversation, which is very ironic because, like we said, a lot of myth was personal gnosis, essentially. Like Hesiod's version of the Theogony came from Athens, where he was writing from. And it also came from like his perspective based on his teachings and his the word is cult, but that sounds like negative today. But his belief system, basically. So he's not actually coming at it from like an objective perspective at all. And he didn't claim to be. So actually his writings are, in a sense, personal gnosis. But for some reason, if I write a book about working with Hephaestus, I would have to very much clarify that this is not necessarily a fact. But if in my book I cited Hesiod's Theogony, that would be considered a fact. So personal gnosis gets a bit blurred that way. So it is important to kind of have that in the back of your mind anytime you read about ancient texts, either as primary sources or in books that they're referenced.
Yeah.
But I've noticed in books lately, like in the past 20 years, maybe even just the past 10, that personal gnosis is included. That now, like I said, they're honest about it. They're like, this is an experience that I had. Or
– right.
And I have to call out Astrea Taylor and Jason Mankey wrote an incredible book called Modern Witchcraft with the Greek Gods. It's a fantastic book. And every chapter, it goes through each of the gods, not just the big 12, but also down into minor deities. And it's fantastic. I think altogether they cover like 300 spirits and gods of Greece. It's fantastically written. Wow. And almost every chapter ends with personal gnosis by a devotee of that god or goddess. So it's not just Jason and Astrea's perspective. It's coming from all these different people who work with them. And it's fantastic to see that because some of these perspectives are totally unique. Like I've never actually read somebody who worked with who was the one that blew my mind? I think it was Nyx. It just blew my mind like how some of these people connected to these deities in such personal ways, or the way they offered to them, or the way that they communicated. And it was so beautiful and I think very empowering to see personal gnosis included in an academic text like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, and to add on to that, when we start reading about our deities or any deity that we're interested in, I think it's important to look at the lens in which the stories are being portrayed. So like you mentioned before, or we discussed before, that most of the stories that have been written down or have been written down after the fact of their worship, of their presence in the culture where they originated. And I think this is a very key indicator of the stories we're reading. So as I mentioned, I follow Tiamat, who is also Namu in later cultures. And many of her stories have been changed based on the political climate, the personal perspective of who was writing down or portraying the story, and the time frame, the time period. So pre-patriarchy, it was a very different story. She wasn't necessarily this destructive goddess that came through and just wanted to destroy everybody. Instead, she was a sacrificial goddess. She sacrificed herself to save humanity, to save her creation. And it later became more of a story where Madruk is the hero. And you can follow the lineage of that into today's patriarchal monotheistic religions. It's very interesting when you start following those, the weaving patterns of these stories. Mm-hmm. So this is another reason why we should not be so adamant of saying this is this, that is that, because it wasn't, it isn't, nothing is. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be somebody's perspective. And the reason I bring that up is because I saw someone on the socials proclaiming that this is the story and this is how it is. And, you know, this goddess is evil because of this, but they're taking the perspective from only one source. They weren't taking the whole picture into account, and they were taking very much the patriarchal version of that story and just vilifying it. So this is important for us, like our personal interaction with certain deities that have been proclaimed as evil or dark or, you know, you name it. Mm-hmm. we know the song and dance, right? And it, once we have those personal relationships with them and it's not this destructive or damaging or scary experience, that's there's something real there. And yes, it's not going to be validated by everyone else outside of us. It's personal to us. It's real to us. And that's the truth for us right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that same, actually, my patron goddess is Inanna. And she also was called Astarte, Ishtar. And some people even believe she was also Ashtaroth. You might, if you are a recovering Christian, you might remember Astarte is like a major villain in the Bible.
Oh yeah.
Which I didn't know I never got that far. I got to the cubits in Noah and all that. And I was like, you know what? This ain't for me. I was in like eighth grade. I was like, never looked back. But anyway, my husband was listening to something we were talking about. And he's like, isn't she in the Bible? I was like, I can't imagine so. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure she's like the villain in the Old Testament. And he like found just the like passage. And, exactly. Yeah. So like, you know, it's like that meme. It's like, we are all the villain in somebody else's hero story. Like it's true for the deities too. Yes, nobody's off the table with that. So yeah. Like and people also say she's like a dark goddess. Like, I don't know. Not really. Like, She'll tell you to get your shit together, but she won't.
Right.
I don't know. I don't even know what that would mean. Does that mean like they hold something over your head? Like, I don't even know like what people are afraid of, actually, sometimes. Well,
and I think this, so going back to that like personal experience, so if you are unwilling to change something in your life that needs to be changed and you're asking somebody for help and they're saying, this is what you need to do. And I can't remember who did this. I have to look it up. But there was a teacher talking to a student, an adult-ass student, who was claiming that the teacher was yelling at her, but she wasn't. She was just saying, just being firm, this is what you need to do. You need to change this or you're going to fail this class. Yes. And the student was getting defensive instead of listening to the teacher. Instead of saying, oh, crap, I've got to get my shit together. That's and I think it. That's what happens.
That's a perfect that's what analogy. Happens is that
we are so unwilling to change sometimes that we think that the person asking us to change or giving us the source, the resource that will help us change, that they are attacking us somehow and somehow they're
that
evil
they're judging
wrong.
Us. And that's it. Like, I this sounds so like Christian-y, I don't mean it to, but like the gods will not judge you. Like, they won't. They're just not going to do it. It's not their prerogative. No. They don't care. Like, if you say, I need to leave this man I'm with, like, he's horrible, he's not good for me, blah, blah, and they're like, okay, let's empower you to do it, and then you decide to stay, they're not going to punish you. You're punishing yourself enough.
Exactly.
They're not going to, like, care. But, they're going to be like, well, tried. Bye. Or yeah, they're going to be like, girl, I'll see you when you're ready. And that's more likely. Yeah, they're not going to just bail on you, but they're also not going to like push you or they're going to respect your boundaries because this is about stepping into your power and they got other things to do.
It is. They do. And it's in really it's that whole perception that, oh, you're being mean to me because I won't change, but not recognizing that you're unwilling to change. But nobody's being mean to you. You're just unwilling to change.
And I think the last thing about personal gnosis to remember is that gods and goddesses are constantly in flux. They're never going to be the person that you read about in ancient texts because the world isn't the way it was then. Like I always say Poseidon, he has gotten less salty. The sea has gotten less salty and so has he.
Oh, that makes sense.
I swear to you because like his energy never called to me. I never thought of him as like a god I'd want to work with like ever. My whole childhood, I never liked his myths. I just didn't care. And when I came here and I visited his temple, now it's my favorite site to take tours to with Seeking Numina because it's so moving. It's so peaceful. It feels like the ultimate expression of the divine masculine. Like he is both fatherly and caring. He is loving and embracing. He's a listener. He's empathetic, but he also is going to be firm. And I've had this kind of like warm relationship with him. I don't leave offerings to him often on my altar, but when I go to the sea, I commune with him. And when I go to his temple, I always have a moment there with him. I really, really like his energy, but it's something that I wouldn't have experienced if I hadn't had that personal chance. And I was speaking with a listener who works with Poseidon. I shared about taking a tour to the temple and they were like, I would love to go there, blah, blah, blah. I work with him. People think he's mean, but to me, he's very fatherly. And we got to talking and her experience with him was exactly the way my experience was. So that was a really interesting conversation in personal gnosis because, you know, I hadn't shared with them about how I felt, but they shared with me and I was like, that's exactly it. So that was really cool. So those conversations can be wonderful and they also can show us the way the gods morph and have these different faces and will continue to change because I think they can be the way we hear of them as scary or whatever, but it's because of something brought on. It's not just they're not that flippant, you know.
Yeah. It takes a lot.
Yeah. Have you had signs, experiences, or dreams lately that made you stop and wonder, was that the call from deity? Maybe you know you've had the call, but you're not sure you want to answer. This is the sign you've been waiting for to take the next step with deity work in your spiritual practice. My next workshop, join me August 26th at 4 p.m. EST for a 90-minute course providing you with tools, steps forward, different perspectives and various explorations on the aspects of deity work so that you can know which path to take on your journey with the god or goddess. This workshop will be recorded for anyone who can attend live. Early bird tickets are on sale until August 10th. Whether you've never worked with deity before or you're ready to take your deity work to the next step, this workshop is for you. I look forward to seeing you there.
I think one of the biggest questions that come up when we're working with a deity, especially when they're new to us, is, is this the real deal? Am I really talking to who I think I'm talking to? How do I validate it? How do I verify it? And how do I know that I'm not talking to some deceptive energy, a demon or something like that, that's trying to trick me? And yeah, it's a tough question. Those are tough questions to answer, but I think they're important to address. And for me, I have always just kind of kept a wall up to begin with. Like, hey, okay, you want to work with me? You want me to communicate with you? Okay, so this is how it's going to go. Like, I set the parameters. I set the terms. And if they're a deity that really wants to work with me, then they meet those terms. Because I don't think that deceptive energy... It seems like deceptive energy or deceptive entities, they want the quick deception, kind of like a telemarketer, you know, push back a little bit or those scam phone calls. They don't want you to push back too hard. So when you start pushing back a little bit, you can really determine if they're sincere or not.
Yeah. Well, and I think people are afraid to question divinity. Like, they're afraid they'll push them away. Oh, they're afraid. That's just not real.
That is so monotheistic, patriarchal.
Yeah. Like, you can literally say, all right, if you're Hecate, I would really like to see you in my dreams tonight. Or I would like a sign. And she has her epithets and she has her associations. So you'll see a black dog. You'll find a key on the ground. You know, you'll hear the baying of a wolf the minute you say that. Like, there will be things that she can manifest for you that, like you said, like a dark spirit, a darker energy just isn't going to waste their time doing.
No. And they're not going to work that hard.
I truly think, too, like we always say, witchcraft is about you. It's about empowering yourself and learning who you are. It's vulnerability. It's intimacy with the divine. And at the end of the day, we are the divine. So
yes,
when we open ourselves to these conversations with deity and we are looking for signs and we're feeling those relationships, you're going to feel if it's real. You're not going to suddenly be like, wait a minute, this feels really great. This communion is going well. Like, but what if it's a demon secretly? Like, you're just going to know. You just have to trust yourself. Yes. So if you need to spend more time, that's why in my Patreon community, I do so many reflective exercises, which, like, I have patrons from all walks of life, from all levels of involvement with their craft, because it's not just about showing up when you need something. It's not just about doing a spell for a specific purpose. It's not just about full moon and then moving on the rest of the month. Like, you have to know you. It's a personal development practice. It's a path that sets your personal self on the right path. Your mundane self is included in that. So if you know yourself, you know what your sensations are when something goes well. You know, there's maybe your heart rate is a tell for you. Maybe you accidentally, you don't know you do it, subconscious, but you fist your hands when you're uncomfortable. Like, just start noticing those things. See what they're like, because it's not going to suddenly be different when you're with a deity versus a person that makes you uncomfortable. Yeah. So just pay attention and trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Trust yourself. Yeah. And when you are asking for a sign from a deity to prove that it's them that wants to work with you, be specific. I remember one time I was, you know, trying to work. Okay, so I had a version of Apollo come to me in a vision, in a meditation that was, so I was asking for this sign. I wanted to see a blue flower from this version of Apollo that kept coming to me. And I didn't believe it was him because he came to me in a black mask that was etched in gold. So it was basically the eclipse version of the sun that was coming to me. And I didn't realize later like what that meant, but I was like, okay, this is weird. I've never seen Apollo portrayed like this. Like, how is this him? Is this his son? Like, what is this? And so I asked for symbolisms. I said, you know what? If this is Apollo that wants to work with me, then I want to see a blue flower. And that's all I said. I just want to see a blue flower. Well, here, the next week, I kept seeing flowers everywhere. And then I kept seeing like the color blue, but they weren't connected. It wasn't specifically a blue flower. It was blue and then a flower. And I'd see blue and then a flower. But I wasn't realizing what I was seeing because I was expecting in my head a blue flower, but not thinking that I was going to see blue and then a flower. But I was seeing it constantly. And it wasn't until I went to the park, and on the park bench was a blue flower. It was laying there, but it was real light blue. And it was just laying there. It wasn't. And it was like after a week of me racking my brains, going like, okay, I'm not seeing this sign. I'm not seeing this sign. It's not real. It's not real. I kept denying it until finally I'm like, I need a blue flower, like a blue flower, just a one blue flower, not blue flower. I need a blue flower. Like, I had to get really specific, and then it happened. It showed up. So that was validation for me. So you have to get very specific with the signs you want to see. You know, like, I need to see a gray bird on a blue fence. Like, be very specific.
Yeah.
That way you can't deny it.
Now, my experiences are usually like, like, oh, no, No, that I'm projecting that. Like, I will always debunk it. Right. I'll be like, oh, right. You know, like when you think of it, you're going to keep seeing it. That's what I always say it is. So I'm like, no, it's not that. But but then eventually, and this is where it is really helpful to have a community to talk these things through with, to have like a teacher, a role model, a guide that you can go to and say like, hey, this has been going on. What do you think? Because sometimes it's just in those conversations. You don't even mean it to go that way sometimes where you're like, yeah, I saw this. Oh, my God. That's Hecate reaching out. And it hits you.
Oh, my God.
It's really crazy how that goes sometimes. So there's so many ways that personal gnosis can hit you, but it's
And it's still we're not and when you reach out to someone who maybe has experience with these kinds of messages, that helps validate you. And it is an external resource, but I'm not saying yes, that was the God coming to you. But recently in the Rebel Mystic community, and one of our members kept having, you know, this imagery come up, this it was like a mourning dove that kept coming to her, and she's like, "What does this mean?" And she gave me some background. I'm like, "Well, could it be this?" And she's like, "Oh my God, yes!" Like sometimes we just need that extra insight so we can see the bigger picture, so we can understand that it's happening. And you know, just like with my story with the blue flower, like I was rationalizing it the entire time. Oh, that's not what that means, because it's not what I asked for, or I think I asked for it correctly, or, you know, whatever. We rationalize our way out of it.
Yeah.
And our intuition is incredibly intelligent, and it speaks to us all the time.
Yeah. And, it's really, and the ego is what that. Steps in front. Like spirit speaks to our intuition, not our ego mind. So we have to sometimes push that ego aside or say, just chill a minute, let me figure this out, you know? And like, I personify things that way, like in my head, like, and that helps too, like where I'm like, okay, ego, take a seat. And like, you know, like that movie, what's the one with all the feelings where they're like,
oh my God.
Inside Out.
Is that it? Maybe. I can't remember now. It's been some time since I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Inside Out. Okay.
In the movie Inside Out, she has all of her emotions. I have the same thing sometimes with my ego where I'm like, whoa, you stop. Let intuition finish. You know, like that's how I have to have these inner dialogues, because there is a lot going on. And sometimes it's hard to parse through that. So and personification is something that is a really helpful tool. Like that's why do humans need gods that have beards, right? Like gods don't have figures, but they all have beards. Like why is that? It's because we need to understand it. Yeah. Like Aristophanes, he was a Greek playwright. He focused on comedies, but comedians always see the truth in reality, don't they? He said, if horses had a god, it'd be a horse.
It'd be a horse. And
that says it all. Like we need to have these personifications. So use them in your brain too. Like just figure out your things with yourself first. But it is so nice to, and I love that. I love when my patrons message me with like these insights that they're getting, or especially like the positive updates. Oh my gosh, it's my favorite thing. Y'all know who you are. Thank you. I am so happy to be part of all y'all's journeys.
Merry meet.
Merry part.
And merry meet again. Thank you for joining us on the Magic Kitchen podcast. Please visit my website, leandrawitchwood.com. for news, information, and more episodes.
I'm Elise Wells, and I can be found at Seeking Numina on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, and seekingnumina.com. That's Seeking, NUMINA.